Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
My name is Aram. My pronouns are he, him, and welcome back to God's Fall.
My name is Michael. My pronouns are he, him. I play Zion Preeti, the newly arisen God of Force.
My name is Doug, and my pronouns are he and him, and I play Doro Not, the newly arisen God of Travel.
My name is Joe. My pronouns are he, him, and I play Lord Haldir Loran, the newly arisen God of War.
My name is Kelly. My pronouns are she, her, and I play Rena Falavar, the arisen God.
So you guys were going to save Caleb. You'd all boarded on Steelbeard, you rode out, you got around Ryland, and you were confronted by Grandma Strike Team and recently undead a brother.
Innocent! Who I'll meet with you for yourself and credit.
When you got past that, you sailed for several days. What are you all doing?
I had gone over with Haldir plans. We had a whole board session where we worked out what our best tactics would be. Hanging out with Para a bit.
Planning check. Cuddles check.
Cuddles check. And then also, of course, working on my batteries, trying to get that all done. If I worked constantly the whole time, we'd have X amount of batteries done by the time we got to Skyhaven, so that we'd all have our remote devices to be able to use. So that was my training exercise, was to get those batteries done. And in the process, I was sort of letting Haldir in more on the process. I wasn't being completely forthcoming, but I was at least letting him get the 101 basics of how this is done, because at the end of the day, I'd rather him know about it than nobody, because I'm the only one that does.
And also, Zion, your suspicion is just topped out by your pride.
Exactly.
You want to talk about this.
He needs the audience, and at this point, Haldir is the only person he knows that would appreciate what he's doing. Para's oh, that's so cool, but that's nice, dear, but
Two people on the boat care. Para really cares, but has no ability to understand what you're talking about. He's very focused and he tries to pay, but you can just see the eyes glaze over two sentences in. Haldir's very interested and understands.
Dora couldn't give a shit. Rena and Audermeal are worried about the danger of it all. That's good. I'm glad we have it. But whatever. It's not made out of a stick, so I don't care.
I shoot it? Does it power my bow? No? Right. All right. Nice job, Zion, I guess.
Right. So, anyway, father of Zionics.
By the time you would get to a Skyhaven, you would have made one battery for every individual. So what are you doing with them?
Well, we charge each battery with our divine energies, and okay. Then we slip each other a battery of opposite choice. So for instance, I give Doro a force bolt. Rena gives Haldir a luck bolt or whatever,
okay.
Something like that, so that we all have one power or a firebolt from Para to Doro.
On your last day of travel, you'll reach Skyhaven by this evening. Zion gathers all of you on the deck of Steelbeard. And he's got all these vials and he lays them all out and he starts to walk you through the process of how to put a divinity into them.
just like bridging. Once he shows you, it's very easy for you all to accomplish. You've all done this before, and especially doing it together, it seems even easier. The fact that you're all bridging together, that you're all participating in this activity as a team, somehow makes the act of bridging that much easier. Paris Vile has a little sun in it. Automeals has a little silver bolt that's moving so quick you can barely see it. Haldir's is just opaque. And if you hold it up to your ear, you can hear marching and horns and screams.
All right, everybody, let's stand in a circle. So let's randomly stand in a circle. Pass your bolt to a person on your left.
Wait. Adamiel's like, should we not perhaps consider this a bit more? What would be more useful for others?
I've done it. And the person on my right, I'm now grabbing it from.
Hey, Adamiel's like, no, wait, hang on. No, wait. Okay, fine. And just, you know, hands it over.
Okay, so let's randomize who has what.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly.
I'm really surprised. Okay, yeah.
I think it'll give it some flavor, but also, like, it give us, like, because we could, like, plan each route before we do it, but, like, it's going to be, in the fog of war, it's not going to matter. Yeah. Like,
no, that's a really good point.
You know, yeah. We just need to be able to have something extra that we didn't have before that they don't expect us to have. Whatever it is. Because we could all just say, well, I really want parrots, right? You know, there, I have a fireball. Right.
I really want a fireball. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but, like,
yeah, right?
So there's seven of you, right? No, I'm counting myself. There's six of you. I'm so dumb. I'm literally counting me. Yeah, like, I'm on the deck.
Because Torvik isn't with us. Onikers is left. Right. So it's now just Doro, Haldir, Rina, Adamiel, Para, Zion. I can't think of anybody else. We're not leaving out an NPC that's been hiding somewhere, have we?
No. Yeah.
No, we're not. Okay, Michael, you're number one. Doug, you're number two. Joe, you're number three. Kelly, you're number four. Para's number five. And Audemil is number six. So, Michael, roll a die six. And if you get you, roll again.
No, I say everybody pass it one over. So I, number one, will pass to number two.
Oh, who I was just saying. Okay.
Who is number two? Who is number two?
Number two is Doug.
Doro, you now have a force bolt.
Okay.
One use of the power of force, okay?
And Doug, you just passed yours to Joe.
Hello.
Haldir, you now have one teleportation. You can blip once.
Blink,
yeah. You can blink once.
Yeah. Haldir normally would have objected to this because there was no thought put into it, but having teleportation is extremely useful. Right. So that's fine.
You start to you're like, wait a minute, shouldn't
well, actually,
oh wait,
I
no, this is
like
fine.
This
yes.
One.
This works out great. Thank you.
All right. And then Haldir passes his battery.
Killing a gun.
Kelly, oh God.
Kelly, you now have a gun. Okay? One use of a modern weapon.
You can summon any one of his modern weapons. Yeah, that's what you'd be able to do.
So it's pistol, revolver, rifle, and shotgun.
And then once it's out of bullets, it's out of bullets, unless you hand it to him to be reloaded. Actually, no, I think once it's out of bullets, it would just vanish. Because
yeah, it would just vanish. It's the battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, one use.
Rina, you pass yours on to Para. Para now is lucky.
Para is giddy. Para's like... like very, very carefully takes it from you and holds it in his hand, and his eyes are almost watering. He's so happy to have this.
I can make another one, Para.
And then Para
passes it on to Adamil.
Closes his hand, and the light, all light, for a moment, seems to dim just slightly as he focuses the power of the sun into this gem, which is now almost too hot to touch. And he hands it to Adamil. Adamil touches it on like the very edges. And he looks at it for a moment and he looks down at his quiver. And you already know he's like, I'm going to make this into an arrow. Like that, like you can see it in his eyes. Like this is going to be an arrow. And then Automail then just snaps his fingers, and his glows with this silvery light, and he hands it to Zion.
And yes, I'm ready to be fast. So I'll be first to act, which is great, so I can crush Grabby Hands' eyes.
Between, like, obviously, like, regular just Doro hijinks and, like, watching, sort of, like, always kind of keeping an eye on the horizon and stuff, my next big, like, project is figuring out how to make that symbol smaller so I can, like, put it on a piece of paper and then just hand someone that and be like, go over there.
Ah.
And now I'm with you. Now I can just appear at you.
A teleportation circle has surprisingly strict rules in the D&D books, and it has to be a 10-foot inlaid with silver permanent thing on the ground.
Yeah, but I have a question. Who made those rules? The old
gods. That's fair.
So if we're new gods, couldn't we, like, work out a way, if we worked hard enough and thought about it, to make new rules? See, that's the difference between us and like a magician. Like, we're not magicians, we're fucking godlings. Like, there's a reason for that. So maybe not over 3 days, but like, yeah.
Definitely as you get more powerful.
No, this is a long-term project. This is the long-term one. So when it's like, what are you doing, Doro? Well, I do my stuff, but also the circle thing.
I would say two things. One, will you be able to do it? Yes. Two, you can get there faster by shortcutting with what Zion's working on. So with Zion's batteries, you can shortcut all these things. You can get a little more powerful because of what he's working on. Once he gets it to the point where it's just absorbing divinity like solar panels, right? Because divinity is everywhere. You just have to capture enough of it like a rain catcher and then funnel it in. Once he can get that done and you guys can build a big enough and powerful enough battery, you guys could use that to then advance your abilities and get more powerful. You could, like, you can make a smaller teleportation circle if there was a big enough divine battery helping power it.
Right. I definitely would not put that together. He would have to tell me that.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, it's more trial and error than anything. I just keep doing these things over and over until something works.
There's just 18 circles, just all different kinds, all over the place. Red lines, knocking each one together. Doro hasn't slept in 3 days. Hair's all up, caffeine just pouring through him as he drinks one hot cocoa after the next.
You really should sleep, Doro.
Steve is very concerned.
I'm so close, just leave me alone.
Okay.
What has Haldir been doing during this time?
So Haldir is spending a lot of his time learning to make the batteries. And using those batteries, he wants to try to figure out how to create a camera of some kind.
You have the spare empty battery, right?
Yes, I think so. Because I took it
from... He does, yeah, he took it earlier.
Yeah.
And I sort of let him have it as a power move of like...
Yeah, I remember that. You just kind of tossed it back at him. Here you go. I don't need it. Yeah. All right. I would like you, Joe, to roll me... I would like you to roll me three skill rolls that I'm going to allow you to pick. And I want you to tell me how those skills help you figure out this battery.
First is Arcana. So I have a +5 to that. Awesome. I rolled a 2. A 7.
If he's like being earnest and like helping me out while I'm doing this, then I would help him with this. So
okay.
Roll that advantage maybe.
Absolutely. So go ahead and roll again, Joe.
Okay. This is an 18.
Michael, explain how Zion helps Haldir get this.
Haldir understood the basic concept, and I had to explain that how my predecessors had believed that it had something to do with the size of the battery, but it has absolutely nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with surface area and the ability for different surfaces to have greater tension between divine energies. And if he is able to, like, focus his divine energy in just certain sort of way... We use, like, certain reagents to be able to hold it in a gel-like form. You know, and I explained to him the various the methods that we have used, and perhaps Haldir has something, some magical items that would help, because I'm running low on Plantacorn Horn, so, like, if you have, like, any magical items, now might be the time to experiment with them. And, yeah, it's painstaking and laborious, but like that's what you have to do. You take one little test tube at a time, and you test the concentration, and you reduce concentration and raise concentration and mark it down and like rigorously work on this. It's not a simple matter of like, oh, there it is, you know, we're going to make it look like it was, oh, there it is. But like what it really is work. We spend a whole day doing that.
You guys haven't like had a friendly relationship, I would say. After working together on this, how do you think your characters are beginning to feel about each other?
I think from Haldir's perspective, a little bit more, I don't know if respect. I mean, in general, I think that Zion's the only one that Haldir's respected, even a little bit out of the group, because he's the only one that seems to be the actual person who understands the stakes.
Right.
So, but especially after this, like it's clear
he has value.
Precisely.
I would say from Zion's perspective, like he's wary. He knows that probably there's more going on to this elf than anything else. He's intelligent and knows what he's doing. He has some knowledge of the old time, but before the fall, so he understands a bit about magic, stuff that Zion's only learned about theoretically and through practice, never through praxis. And so to be able to see somebody who can actually do that or has access to that.
Haldir used to be in magic school in a giant magic temple. Remember that?
Right, exactly. I mean, now, Zion may not know all that, but maybe even passing, he may have mentioned that he studied, oh, I also understood this from the spire.
Haldir is 100% the dude that constantly tells people he went to Harvard.
Right. Oh, the spire. And so they may have had a little conversation while they're, you know, tinkering with batteries. And so Zion would have learned that perhaps, I don't know if you wanted to reveal that, but it doesn't like hurt the character to say so.
How much would you share, Haldir?
Well, we're not going to get into too many specifics, but especially, you know, If Zion is willing to explain what he's doing or is, you know, able to talk about it, I want to make sure he's not going to treat me like I'm a 5-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Like I have some background, some understanding, and
right.
So I'm going a little bit into detail of about the education that I've received.
If Haldir gave a bit of his CV and I like understood, okay, well, he studied it,
right,
you know,
right,
fair
exactly.
enough, you know, so that gives me a shorthand. I don't have to like, you know, do battery 101 with him or magic 101. Like he's got it. So we can get into more esoteric things that we're working on. Anyway.
4 hours in, Para shows up with like a little tray. He's got cheeses and like some waters and he's like, hey guys, you're studying hard. You're like, yeah, thanks, Para. He's like, okay. He drops it off and it's got a
long suffering Para. I guess I'm such a bad boyfriend.
No, you're fine. Listen. You know, like you just get distracted, you get into something. Para can't really participate, so he goes upstairs and plays with Oinkers. He's good. He's totally
Oinkers is gone.
Totally
Oinkers
good.
Is gone.
Oinkers is
sorry.
Gone.
Sorry, he goes upstairs and be sad. No, I'm sorry.
No. We'll hang. It's okay.
He goes upstairs and hangs out with Rita. They're buds. He's good. Para's a whole person now.
Yeah.
He's got his own thing going. He's all set. Yeah. So what are the other two roles you would make? And why would you make them?
Insight? Or is that like, does that make sense?
Insight does make sense in this particular case. And I'll tell you why after you roll it.
That's a nat 20.
Okay. But what's the last one that you would do?
Probably like perception.
Yeah, roll that. Absolutely.
That's a 17 and I have a plus 6, so 23.
You focus on that. You listen, you are listening to Zion. Zion's smart. I mean, he talks a lot and maybe you don't need all the info, right? Because it's like a lot of like detail that you weren't like looking for, but like everything you need, he explains in perfect detail and walks you through it. Like Zion's patient, you know, he is dating Para, but Zion is a patient teacher and you get it down. And not only do you get it down, you see very clearly how it can link to this camera. And you've been saying camera, but what it really is just magical energy. It's a very small portal that is allowing someone to look through it. And as you start to merge this and you start to use all of your abilities and everything you've learned, you realize you can just bridge these two things together. You can just link this energy to this battery. And when you push them together for a moment, you can see straight back into the iron wood. And this old wild elf woman's eyes pop open, and then you're disconnected.
Freaking Haggins.
And you have this battery now. Any place you put it will be a camera. And that battery has enough energy in it to basically be residual. So you place this somewhere, and for 1 year, you will have a camera there that you can connect to, no matter what distance you are from it, as long as you're on the same plane of existence.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you rolled
That's
well.
That's really nice.
That was a really good time for you to roll well. Good job, Zion. Well done. All right.
Actually, it was Hollier, but yeah.
No, because he wouldn't have gotten this far if you had bailed him out.
Advantaged him.
Perfect. So, and then Rena, what have you been doing over these 3 days?
Back when we were in, when we were like with the animals or whatever, and we were buying magical items and things like that, Rena bought a clay pot.
You did buy a clay pot. You did, yes.
I did. I bought a magical clay pot. Yeah. And so you like can grow it and then it'll shatter. So Rena's going to pull that out and water that, I assume.
In Steelbeard's bilge, in the bottom level of the boat, where there would normally be maybe some storage, where water collects, where they pump out, instead of that, about a third of it has been put aside for the laboratory. That's where Zion does all of his experiments. The other two thirds, it's swamps and Everglades and ivy and jungle and tropical, and it's all concentrated in this one area, the center of which is the root of Steelbeard as his trunk grows down through all the decks and then spreads out to just envelop this whole area. And this bilge, this ecological wonderland, is where Steelbeard can then clean salt water to fresh water, create different herbs and spices for the cocos and various foods that he gives to you. It's the heart and the stomach of how Steelbeard operates and how the ship operates. And so Steelbeard just scoops up some of this incredibly rich mud that he's cultivated and very gently plants your seed in your pot and hands it back.
Here you are, Rena. That's a good one. I believe they will grow to be a fine plant indeed.
So you take it back to the top deck, make sure it's secure with a lot of sunlight. Watch over it very carefully its first day. On its second day, you see a tiny little sprout. By the third day, it's a full budding flower. What do you want your flower to be?
Ooh, can I make it, this is just a thing that I like, can I make it be one of those red magic, like the red spider lily things?
It grows far faster than it should, but on the third day, a couple hours outside of Skyhaven, you're on the deck with this perfect flower as Para walks up and he's got like a little tray of like leftover food and he kind of puts it away and he's like, oh, hey, Rena, how are you? And he goes walking over and as he does, you hear a little tink, tink, and then a crack and the pot just shatters. And the whole flower just falls over and the dirt's everywhere. And like, oh. And then its leaves hit the deck, pushes itself back up. The petal turns towards you and it jumps to its feet. The roots rip out of the pot. It lands with its little plant feet, puts one hand to its chest in a salute to you.
My queen.
What?
I live to serve. How may I help you?
How is this?
Rena's just staring. Just, she's like, it's just taking it all in. And then she turns to Para and she's like, are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Para's just like stopped and is looking right by, but it just nods to you. Yeah, I do see the talking plant. Yeah.
And I'm just looking at the plant and I'm like, where did you come from?
I do not know. You have summoned me. You have brought me to life. I did not exist and now I do. And I live to serve you, my queen.
It's just not what I expected for 20 gold. I don't know what she would even do. She just like is so shocked. Is there anything that she's heard of, like, in her training of, like, magical stuff that would, like, she would know what this is? Or, like...
Roll me either Knowledge of Nature or Knowledge Arcana.
There's no knowledge nature.
Oh, right. Thank you.
There is nature.
There is nature. There's just nature, not knowledge nature, yeah. Because I'm a bad DM.
22?
You remember Hagant telling stories about little animated plants the elves would create, you know, sometimes just for fun or just for decoration. Also that, you know, you can, with magic, or at least with old magic, you can awaken a plant. You can bring it to life. You can give it consciousness and personality and mobility. That apparently is what has happened here.
Do I know that if it, like, it'll stay around for, like, forever until it's...
That you don't know.
Okay.
As you're thinking that, though, this he, like, leaps in front of you. He's about 6 inches tall, right? And he puts a little plant arm on your leg and stands in front of you and pulls out a thorn and holds it up to Para.
Do not trespass upon my queen.
And Para's like, okay. And he puts his little tray down and he sits down and he looks at him and Para's very happy, but he's trying to be respectful. He's like, I won't, and I'm very sorry. What's your name? He frowns and he looks back to Rena.
I do not have a name, my queen.
Oh, okay. We're going to have to work on that. I'm just going to say Buddy for now because you don't have a name.
Buddy. No. Buddy. No, as soon as you say it, Buddy. His eyes go wide. And he's
with
like,
with two D's.
Buddy.
For like little bud.
Buddy.
Buddy. Yes. I am Buddy. Yes, my name is Buddy, and you shall not approach my queen.
Oh, bro. Did you just replace Oinkers? Is that what is what's happening right now?
Oinkers was recast as a little plant.
As soon as Buddy understands that Para is a friend and the boat is a friend, Buddy quickly understands what is happening and turns to you and says,
"It's obviously been a very long day, my queen. I shall patrol the boat. Call upon me if you need me."
Big, huge flourish of a bow, takes his little thorn, wraps a vine around it to make a tiny little bow, and he goes on patrol. Little teeny feet, he'll make it around the boat in like a day. He is on patrol.
I inform him that there's like everybody else on the ship and that he shouldn't, you know, and things like that.
He's drawing very bad sketches of every person, but it's like close enough. Like, it's like, yeah, that actually is their essence.
He's like, okay, I've got them down. Thank you, my lady.
A little like flap, 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 flap as little a plant feet hit the deck.
She's like, it's a weird day.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
The sprawling capital of Skyhaven rests at the foot of a massive plateau, separating the public areas below from the royal palace and estates of the elite far above. Enemies of Brennus shattered their armies against her sheer cliffs for centuries before the airships of Gal-Hadir soared past their battlements during the last great war. The city serves as both trade hub and governing body for the kingdom, and is second in size and population only to the great island nation of Ani. A spring-fed lake rich with minerals flows down from the cliffs and into the Sapphire Bay, an inlet so deep and blue that some believe it to have no bottom. An abundance of life swirls about in these sparkling waters, enriching the coast and the people who live along it.
Kind of sad because none of this is going to matter in about 20 minutes. But go ahead and describe it before the gods war.
Pre-crater, this is what Skyhaven looks like. Yeah. You all are still pretty far out from Skyhaven and these main canals, but already traffic is starting to get crowded. There are boats and flags from every country. You see Kadar, you see Ani, you see some royal vessels from Ryland. So right away, it already feels pretty exposed. Before you can react, the wood around you begins to creak. Steelbeard begins to slightly reform. Veins in the wood of Steelbeard begin to glow with the pink and purple energy of the astral realm. The sail lights up, its leaves fold in and seem to flow together into fabric. The wood dulls from its green color of the ironwood to more of a rust brown. And in a few minutes, you're just on a boat. Steelbeard has somehow masked himself to just look like any other boat.
I have a little magic now.
His voice changed too.
I was also, I was like, did he level up too?
He did. He leveled up. I gave him a level because he's been a character too. He would get better. He was fundamentally changed when Golden Barrel resurrected him and brought him back to life. So he is a different creature than he was before.
Right. Well, essentially, Golden Barrel made a demigod of sorts. So
basically, yeah, that's exactly what Golden Barrel did. He made him the demigod of Treants.
And we ride him around like a boat.
Mm. Yeah, which he's really happy with. He's
yeah, what else
friends.
Would he do? Right?
He spent his whole life as a tree. He's had people living in him his entire existence. This is nothing new to Steelbeard. You guys just talk back.
He just gained company.
Yeah. So as you guys are pulling around, Steelbeard is moving towards the main entrances of the canals. There's these huge gates. There's a tariff system. You guys will have to go through official channels, but if you wanted to, he thinks he can just sail right up because he looks like any other boat.
No, Steelbeard, let's park off the coast. We're going to sneak into this city and deal with what we have to as quietly and quickly as we can. This may turn south, we all know it, but we have to do what we have to. We must save Caitlin.
Skyhaven is sprawling. If you park outside the city and head into it, you're talking about a day's journey. You can do it, but it's going to take some time, and you're still going to have to go through like checkpoints.
But
what if Doro just teleports you directly there?
Doro.
Right. Right. I forgot about that.
I don't know. We're not like level 2 warriors or something.
No, good point. He's like,
well, then I could just sail past the coast and Doro could just teleport you all. Then I could just circle around.
That sounds like a plan, Stan. All right. Power pose, everyone. Power pose.
Yeah.
Let's get in the center of the boat.
Doro was able to see the path of the ship that Cyril and crew are on, and he saw where it was going, and he saw that it was going to Skyhaven. That's all you guys know. So Doro knows what the ship looks like, and you know that it's in Skyhaven.
But I could just do the find the path thing to find to Caitlin.
Yes. No, we couldn't.
Yes,
we couldn't.
Now that we're
right
at the city. I just
you tried that
so,
before.
Okay, so
it got to a point and it just shattered and went everywhere. Remember?
We're closer now.
No,
maybe
I don't remember anything. I'm sorry.
So does Doro want to do his little find the path move?
Yeah. Okay, so I turn to the rest of the group and what is Steelbeard doing? Is he docking now or is he pulling around the coast?
Basically passing the entrance, you have a clear view into the city down the canal.
But I have to be on land to do this, right? I can't do it from the boat, can I?
Last time you did it, you were on land, but
it
shot across the water. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
A couple levels ago,
yes. But then I don't say anything at all. I just do it. I just try to do it again.
you just do your little superhero pose, slamming your hand into the ground. Yeah.
And then my eyes do this. They flare up with the astral.
You were working on your little circles. So when you had this little aha moment, you just leapt up and did it right there. Not even thinking about the fact that you were in the center of your teleportation circle. So when you slam your hand into the ground, at first there's that bolt out where it just like goes searching, but it circles right back at you. And it slams into your little teleportation circle and it all glows. And for a moment, you see Caitlin, you know she's forward, like she's in the city and down. And then there's like static and like the whole thing kind of like magical energy fires up from the circle all around you, lifts you like a couple feet off the ground before dropping you back down. And your whole circle is kind of like smoking.
I know where they are. And I point in the direction of the into the city and down. And I say, they're that way, but they're, and I start, my arm starts going down, but they're like in it.
I would like you to roll perception as you're looking in that direction.
As he does this, Rena grabs Buddy and like puts it in them in her hair.
You honor me, my queen. I shall guard your skull with my life.
This is like really hard for Rena because she's very independent. This is like really weird.
She's a
now
mother
you're a mommy.
Now.
Yeah, you're a mommy now.
I wanted to be a mom of owlbears, and I got a plant, and I'm like, okay, this is
different.
You're
gonna
different,
have a little forest family.
Yeah, as Buddy sits, but you know, kind of like tucked into your hair, behind your ear, he's just very gently humming this song, and it's a song you used to sing when you were a kid. It's a song of the forest, and it's just this little pleasant hum. Like it's perfect. It just puts your heart kind of at ease.
I'm glad I put my lo-fi on my Spotify.
Oh, my Chill Beats flower playlist. I love this one.
I got a 24.
So as you're like, yeah, it's right over, and you're focusing in, and then you're like, wait a minute, and you see the back of the Arcadia. So you see the ship. It's parked about a mile down the canal.
The Arcadia is parked right over there.
His specific spyglass was something that Zion had created for him with the little gemstones that had been Sebu's eyes, and they can spot divinity. So that's part of it, too. So if he sees anything divine, he would be able to see like a glowing, like, oh, divine crap is happening over there, if that were the case.
There's like a mist, a gentle mist rising from the deck. Like there's an afterglow. There was powerful divinity here recently.
All right, everyone, gear up.
Half of you have guns now.
Yeah.
All right. So is everyone going? Is the whole team going?
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
We're bringing it. We're bringing it.
Okay. So Automail, Para, all right. Avengers assemble. And then, Doug, where do you want to appear?
The idea is to get into the city quietly. I'm trying to think, though. Because if we can get into the rich people's place, I could steal a lot of stuff, too. That would be pretty cool.
Focus, Doro.
Oh, anyway, wait. But look, we know where they all live. Like, you don't even have to look. They're right up there. Anyway. We want Steelbeard to pull around to a place that's not one of the main entrances so we can enter stealthily. It would be ideal if in some kind of way we pull up somewhere that's not an entrance, that I can teleport all of us onto some kind of roof that's out of view of anyone that would be on the ground around the building, say, like guards or something.
Where you see the Arcadia, it is in like a warehouse district towards the end of the canals. There's a bunch of buildings all kind of stacked up close to each other. And then there's little parts where like the canals just cut through them. So it's a very tightly packed Venice-like warehouse district. Plenty of places, frankly, to tuck you guys into. Yeah.
Let's find a quiet place to dock that people aren't going to ask questions. Maybe just leave us alone.
Oh, you don't have to dock. You're just going to pop off and then Steelbeard's just going to keep going.
Oh, he's going to stay. Oh, okay, that's better. Okay, Well, then
he's like your getaway car, right? Yeah. He's just ready to go.
So we just need an insertion point then. So I'm looking for some place to teleport all of us up onto, basically.
There is a really good spot. There's like a four level warehouse right next to a third level warehouse. So there's kind of like an overhang, mm-hmm. and there's this little like not really balcony, but like top part on the roof. That's
the
like
lower one.
Yeah. Right. It's like, it's covered. It's in an alley. It's shaded. If Steelbird just tacks right for just a minute, you can get right there.
Okay. Yeah. Steelbeard, I need you to pull into that canal there, and I'm going to get everybody, onto that balcony.
I can do that, Doro.
Okay. Para gives you a thumbs up.
Everyone stay close and hold tight.
We clasp hands.
As Steelbeard whips his sails around and swings to port. You tack right, hands, and then you just... Do you have like a word you say when you teleport, or you just go?
Abracadabra.
No, Jesus. No, I was playing with like power words and stuff there early on, but no, just
okay.
Let's just do it.
I think it's more sporadic. Yeah,
I'm just focused right now.
So you just vanish from where you are, all of you, and you've gotten used to this. You've all been teleported a couple times by Doro. It's that feeling when you go over a hill really fast and your stomach rises. So as you become nothing, your stomach rises and then lowers again as you become real again where you're teleported. And you're all just perfectly on this roof. You're a little tucked in, like you could just fall, but you're all exactly where Doro wants you to be. And you've got a clear view on the Arcadia.
Rena looks around for guards and or anything suspicious.
Roll perception.
Me too. I'm going to be checking for divinity.
Okay. Roll perception as well.
I would like to also look around and use my spyglass to see if I see any kind of mist coalescence.
Kelly, what did you get?
28.
There's no one here. That boat is definitely abandoned. There's no one on it. There's a couple lanterns that are still burning that definitely have 4-hour oil. So if there were people here, they were here within 4 hours. You know all of that. Michael, what did you get?
16. I'm looking for anything divine.
Again, there's nothing that stands out. And Doug, when you do your sweep, it's the same thing. Like there's residual energy that's fading, but there's no concentration of it here on the boat.
Are there people on the Arcadia?
There's no one on the Arcadia. There's a couple people on the docks around here, but it's pretty much nighttime now. It's about an hour after, sunset. So there's not a lot of people in the area right now.
Whose ship is that?
That is LaFleur's ship. That is one of LaFleur's ships.
Is there like a guard presence?
Yeah.
There's no one guarding it. There's, again, a couple people like once in a while walking past, but there's no one on this ship.
And there's no city guard like around or anything like that?
Not in this area. I mean, again, there might be a patrol that walks past like in the 10 minutes you guys are there, but it doesn't seem like they're on patrol. It's just coincidental. They're just casually chatting as they walk back towards the main city.
Would someone need a crew to man the Arcadia in order to sail it out of the canal?
Yeah, you would need the minimum basically of what you got here. About 6 people to get that ship out of the canal.
We need to sneak into the Arcadia, I guess, or at least sneak closer to it to get a better look.
Okay, strike team one then. Doro, Rena, Automail. The rest of us, stay up here, keep watch. We'll sweep in if we have to.
It's going to be important that we probably need to stick close to Automail in case we need to like leave quickly.
So you are close. This boat now, so you run a warehouse, then there's like a dock in front of you that's about maybe 50 feet wide, and then there's the Arcadia. So you're like 60 feet away from it right now. Yeah.
Okay. Then I turn to the two.
Well, see, because the three of us, so Zion, Haldir, and Para, if we're the three of us are together, then at least Para and I can fly. So we,
right.
And yeah. I can like lift Haldir with me if we need to.
Yeah. Also, he's got guns.
Also, he has a guns, and also right. I do have one speed force if I need to.
And I have one teleport if I have to.
Yeah, right. That's good, yep. too. Okay. Yeah, so we got ways out.
If things go south right now, we could disappear. But the reason why I'm sending in not all of us at once into this boat is because if we're all like in one place when it like shit blows up, then we don't have like a backup plan. This is like our backup plan. We have extra forces here. But we can see you.
Like, no, I agree. This is good. Okay. So
Doro, in fact, Doug, if you leave Michael your spyglass, he'll be able to literally see your dots in the ship. Like if it was infrared, right? Because he'll be able to see the divinity of your dots moving in the ship.
Oh, if we had a way to communicate, you could be like Overwatch and be watching us go in and stuff. And if someone's like, suddenly come to the boat, you could tell us.
We'll add that to the list. We'll add that to the list.
Have we determined whether or not the camera is it has sound?
It doesn't. So your camera is only a camera. It's not a microphone, but with a little bit of tinkering.
You know what, Paul dear? You, back when you were studying in the Spire, the Silver Spire, whatever it was called, would have learned, like, message or things like that.
Or clairvoyance, yeah. In fact, you know what? Have you looked at your spells recently,
spells?
Joe? I don't know. I literally ever looked at my spells.
I know I gave you guys powers, so you're fuck the spells. Right?
So I have Blade Ward, Eldritch Blast. Okay, so fourth level.
Why don't you shit the damage people and make them cry? Here's my spell, make elves cry.
I'm pretty sure I'm telepathic if I need to be. I just haven't done it. Because
I can cast abuse underlings.
I'm level 8, and I'm a sorcerer.
Wait, what level have, like? I am also level 8.
So I can cast like level 5 spells. What's a level 5 spell for a sorcerer?
Yeah, I mean, you guys should have some pretty good spells.
I have like Unseen Servant.
Of course you do. Of course you do. You just cast that every day.
That's right, yeah.
Carry this.
That's how it gets ready in the morning, you know? Like,
dress me.
I want to be able to, like, you know, send a message, use my mind, reach out with my divinity and tell Doro, run now, you know, or whatever I need to do.
Totally. And Doro would be the one, because if he's got to get him out, that'd be the one. Yep.
So I stay connected to Doro in his mind. Mind, friend. My mind.
Where are you teleporting, Rena and Automail and yourself? Like, are you just going to teleport from where you are directly onto the deck? Are you going to drop down and sneak onto the deck? What are you going to do here?
Well, like, where do we want to go? Do we want to go to, like, Captain's quarters? Or do we want to, like, because, like, that's where paperwork and, like, I would think, and, like, the comings and goings of the warehouse would be.
Right. Rena's already got, like, a monocle out and, like, a little pipe and a little, you know, a little Sherlock Holmes hat.
God. I just teleport us onto the deck of the ship.
Okay, so without even saying anything, you just grab these two of them. Boom, you're just there. Yeah,
we're going to be on the deck now. I draw my dagger, and I start, like, I head towards where generally the captain's cabin is.
Automail's following your lead here. He just kind of hunches down and just follows directly behind you.
While I'm going, if there are any kind of containers with the explosion stuff anywhere, I'm kind of remembering that's there. Type of thing.
There are drag marks all over this deck. Heavy scratch drag marks. There's a couple barrels that definitely look like they had that acid in them that are empty or used or broken. This ship was unloaded in a hurry, and there's a lot of damage to it. Like, railings are broken. There's actually a part of the deck that's been broken open to allow easier access inside. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, they ripped this ship apart to unload it as fast as possible.
So, does it look like abandoned to the effect that they probably won't be coming back to it?
This is a trap. They've taken the acid and put it in there for us to go and find them and fall into. Like, this is a fucking trap. Anyway.
Doug, it always is.
I burn this fucking ship to the ground. No,
that can be arranged. So, like,
they definitely took everything off the ship. Like, it was all towards where the gang plank is. Like, this was, like, whatever they did, they took a ton of stuff off this ship in a hurry.
Right. But I'm still going to head to the cabin to try and break into it, or at least search it for traps and then just go in it.
I would like you to roll search for traps. However, we do that in D&D.
Yeah, how do we do this again? Is this just perception?
It's just thieves' tools. Just roll me a perception. Yeah.
So 10. So
you don't find any traps, and the door is locked.
Oh, okay. Then sleight of hand.
Yeah, roll that, and you should have like a +8 or something on that one.
20, not natural.
Pops right open. It's not a complicated lock. It's just a standard lock. The door swings and creaks open, and there is a very messy, very dark main captain's cabin in front of you. That's like a whole desk turned over. Like, this place has been ransacked.
I would like to search to see if I can find anything along the lines of something like a candle to light the room, and then some kind of like maybe paperwork signifying different things, such as like, what was this ship doing? Where was it going? Why is it here now? Where is it headed? Who's in charge of it? Stuff like that.
And Kelly, what are you doing?
Rena's going to stay near the door of the cabin, and she's going to bring it back so it looks almost closed, but she's going to keep it kind of open.
Yeah.
And then she's just going to be like, she's basically on surveillance. She's just kind of, you know, glancing out, making sure nothing's, you know.
There's just this thin band of light over one eye and the tip of an arrow as you're looking out
basically,
through this.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Okay, Doug, then I would like you to roll investigation. That's a thing.
That is a thing.
Very good. I got a 9.
You're searching around. It's pretty ransacked. Do you feel like there's more stuff here, right? Like, you could search this cabin for a while.
Well, what's our Automil doing?
Yeah, is Automil.
Automil. Oh, you know what? That's a good point. Automil will help you search. So go ahead and roll that with advantage.
Well, that one was a 3. Thanks for the help, Automil.
He's like looking around, but you're just like, you know, looking at all, like piles of trash. And after a while, Automil's like, oh, well, you know, and then I'm going to have him roll. He's going to look on his own. So 16 plus 1 is 17. So at some point, Automil like directs you away from the trash and drops a logbook in front of you. Perhaps this would be helpful.
Aha, as you guys, I found it.
Yeah, so you guys flip through it. And what you learn is that this is one of Baron LaFleur's ships, and it traveled from Capania to the Southern Shield to the Sun Sea and now to Skyhaven. So that's where it was before it was here.
Not sure where the Sun Sea is. Where is the Sun Sea?
The Sun Sea is in, not Brennus.
Wessel?
Wessel, thank you.
Okay, so it did a big circle then. So it started
basically,
up
yeah.
at the...
It did a loop.
At the evil libertarians and then like went over to like the evil communists and then went over to like...
the farm communists, the worst type of communist.
No, I was talking about
one fucking song about grain after the next.
Right.
Are there dates and do the dates line up to when we were in Capenia?
I don't even know. I couldn't answer that. But let's
but
let's
like
just
would we know?
Yeah. Let's just assume no. Let's assume okay. that it's close. Like you guys were within a week, I would say, of each other.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, what I think Rena is looking for.
Yeah.
Have they been chasing us? Or have
it
we
does
been
not look
them?
Like
doesn't
I mean,
look
it
like
looks
it's
like,
anything to do with us.
It looks like you guys got close to each other, coincidentally, but they don't appear to have been like actively tracking, which just doesn't line up. Yeah.
It's not connected. So the acid isn't for us. It's for
so
something
they've been
else.
On their own little journey.
So they've been they're know? Sailing yeah. around getting all the acid to do
they've
something.
They've got their own lives. It doesn't all revolve around you.
It does.
It should.
What?
other than that, if there's anything valuable, I'm always looking to lift that.
So these are the things you find next. You guys spent about 10 minutes looking through all this crap. You find 7 crimson velvet pouches, each bearing Baron LaFleur's seal. He's a terrible smuggler. He puts his fucking seal on everything. Each bearing Baron LaFleur's seal and containing 100 gold each. So each is like a little pouch of 100 gold. Like they were all carefully measured out in advance for whatever.
And Doro's not sharing this, I assume. He's just stashing this.
Hold on, teammate. I throw Automil and Rena both a bag.
Oh, cool.
And I put the rest of it in my pocket.
He'll happily take that. You find a large garnet paperweight worth about 90 gold. You kind of hold it up to the light, quickly evaluate that. You find a whalebone letter opener, the platinum and emerald handle made to look like an octopus, and it's 150 gold. You find an envelope with several receipts, handwritten on gilded parchment, all from an inn called The Mill. And the last thing you find is a worn leather wallet with strange stitching. And inside this leather wallet is paper currency that is unknown to you.
Is it green?
It's green. It says Kadaria. And on the $100 bill, there's a picture. And you swear it looks like a drawing of old Haldir. As you flip through this wallet, there's a couple other things in it. There's an ID for like a for something called a taxi cab company, and there's like a big orc it's his picture and apparently his identification. And as you open it up and look in the back past the money, there's an image. It's like a drawing, but if a drawing was perfect, if a drawing perfectly captured something, for our eyes, this is a Polaroid picture.
Right.
And as you pull it out, it's an image of like a glass and steel box with large rubber wheels, and it's rolling through this fantastic city of steel and glass. And in this horseless carriage, seated in the back, very clearly, is Haldir. Thank you for joining us for season 6 of God's Fall. We are busy editing the rest of our episodes for this season and preparing to record the final chapter. We'll have information on episode release dates soon. You can find links to our Twitter feed and other updates on godsfall.com. For ad-free episodes, early releases, bonus episodes, print-ready maps, and my DM's notes, head over to patreon.com/godsfall. You can also listen to ad-free episodes and bonus content by subscribing to the show on Apple Podcasts. Our theme and many of the sound effects you hear in the show were created by BattleBards. Check them out at battlebards.com. And we'll see you next time in the world of the Five Kingdoms.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
This show was produced and edited by Dead Ghost Productions. Find out more about us and all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com.